Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
He predicted the fall of the Berlin Wall and the COVID-19 pandemic years before they happened. His forecast for summer 2026 is giving people hope. But will it be the societal relaunch we've all been waiting for? This week's episode is Andre Barbeau, the astrologer who keeps being right.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood. I'm gonna kill you.
Well, I am excited about this because we've all been needing a little pick-me-up.
You know, and if someone says, hey, there's a turning point, you're like, is it the USA kind? Please, I hope it's not that kind. But it is around the USA birthday, so we're, I'm sure.
If, ironic.
I know. If you all have been on TikTok recently or on Instagram or Threads, I've seen it across Reddit where people are talking about this big date in 2026, and this is the man responsible for marking it on our calendars.
I'm always fascinated by astrologers like Galileo, just people that look to the stars and kind of did all the groundwork and all the hard work for everyone to follow. Because imagine tracking, recording the stars for decades.
Yeah. I mean,
it's tedious.
If you think about it, especially like way back in like ancient civilizations or 30,000 years ago in the Americas and stuff, that I'm like, you're marking down tiny little tick marks of where these things move and noticing like, oh, that big one crossed with this other one. You and I were talking about in your backyard the other day of like, we can barely see Venus and Jupiter when they're like close to us and mm-hmm. we know we have an app. Mm-hmm. And of course, yeah. We are also victims of light pollution everywhere because we live in a major city. But yeah, if you were back, you know, 300 years ago, 500 years ago, 5,000 years ago, you could see it all mm-hmm. and probably made tracking it a lot easier as well. And people were biphasic sleeping, you know, falling asleep naturally from 8 to midnight.
I gotta learn how to time travel because I would have really thrived back then.
I feel like you're meant for it. Tracking the stars, biphasic sleeping?
Biphasic sleeping, when I learned about that, I was like, holy shit. That does make sense for mm-hmm. those that don't know. It's how people used to sleep because they didn't have electricity and whatnot. So you went to bed as the sun went down. So from like, you know, 6-7 to midnight, you sleep. Mm-hmm. You wake up just naturally because you've gone through REM around midnight. And then you stay up from like midnight to 3 to 4 or so. Mm-hmm. And you go back to bed for a couple hours.
Boom. I feel like you would be more productive. It would be way more productive for sure than we are now. And that's why Benjamin Franklin liked it. And I Googled this and learned that he liked to take a cold bath when he woke up from his Ooh. First sleep. And he would get completely butt naked and he would expose his skin to the coldest air that he could possible. He liked a cold air bath.
Oh, so people not even in the water. Just
no, he's
air
not plunging.
Bath.
Yeah, just walking around nude. Much nice. Like that Sunday Scaries video we watched where that guy had his butthole just right up to the sky.
Right up to the sun.
He was Benjamin Franklining, just where you just lay back and spread your cheeks and let your asshole get the sun.
Well, he was doing it in the dark. This
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Ben was doing it in the dark.
The man we saw was broad daylight. Definitely hope he had some SPF 75 down there, because yeah. Normally that part of us doesn't see the light of day.
The CVS employee's like, I don't know if you can spray sun bum on your actual bum in the sun, but I don't see anything on the can that says not to.
Well, then you're telling me there's a chance.
Exactly. Well, I'm excited about today's forecast, because it means by the time we are all joined together at Crime Wave at Sea 2027, we will be like 6 months into this new wave. Crime wave of a better society. And look, I got my little crime wave mug.
Oh,
today,
I love it.
A little cafe.
We got a crime wave alert that it's almost completely sold out. More sold out than the last alert we got. They have some of the more affordable cabins still available, especially interior cabins. So if you've been on the fence or the deck rail about joining us,
turn
on
back
this.
Around. Get on the
Lido deck. Don't jump. Get on the Lido deck. Join us. We're gonna Goldie Hawn it. We're gonna and Andre Barbolt it.
Yeah.
We might Benjamin Franklin it.
Who knows? Who knows what will happen? And if we do it, if it's late enough at night, they're not gonna know that you're nude on a balcony. Ask me how I know. So join us, crimewaveatsea.com.
Private balcony.
It's a private, yeah, not just openly. That's a different kind of cruise that they do have. It's just not this one.
It's not this one.
It's not the combination crime wave nude cruise. That's a different one.
That is a niche.
So niche.
Demographic. I think that we'd get a handful. That would be into that.
They're like, we reserved 8 tickets and that's sold out. That's it. That's the only
and you're all sharing one cabin together.
Exactly. And we've locked you off because you can't get out of there. There are zip ties on the doors. But yeah, go to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER to get the best deal. Get $100 off your stateroom. You get to hang out with us at a private meet and greet. You get so many awesome creators to meet, new friends, new memories. I'll write about you in my diary. I probably will, because we'll probably hang out and it'll be a good time.
And IRL told us, the event company that puts this on, they are doing even bigger and better fan meetups, experiences, activities. So everyone is really going to have the time of their life and get the biggest bang for their buck.
Let's get banged for that buck, baby.
Let's CrimeWaveAtSea.com.
Code SINISTER.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. Andre Barbolt was born on October 1st, 1921 in Champignelles, France, during a solar eclipse, a detail that, in hindsight, feels almost too perfect for a man who would spend his entire life reading the sky. His older brother, Armand, wrote about astrology and occultism, subjects the Barbolt family regularly studied. In 1935, at the young age of 14, Andre began his formal studies with his brother. That same year, Andre left school, trading the classroom for something that would consume him far more completely. When Armand published an article linking the Saturn-Neptune conjunction to the Russian Revolution, he tasked his younger brother with the historical verification. That assignment, handed down from his big brother, would become Andre's lifelong primary research focus.
You never know when you're going to change someone else's life by having them do part of your homework for you.
True. Yeah. And the whole family was kind of into it. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you've got this kind of stuff around and it's that long ago and everyone's looking at stuff, I mean, back then you didn't have a ton to distract you with like we do now. So someone was like, hey, I found this new subject. Oh, let me consume everything I can about it, because I don't have a phone that distracts me every 2 minutes.
No, you're going to get fixated on like, I'm going to look up every single time this happened or whatever. But the I think the astrology bug also ended up going down one more generation to Andre's daughter. I think she also took up astrology as well. And it's always interesting when you're like, this is like a family destined to look like, to almost be like message bringers.
Did you hear that, Ella and Simon? One day they'll hear this episode. Probably, I hope, not for a while, but
a long time.
The older they get, the more I realize at some point they can just access the whole backlog of our show.
You're going to get the call to be like, Ella was streaming a podcast called Sinisterhood. And when we were going to reprimand her because it was offensive, but we noted that you're the host. So we were just curious, what did you wanted us to do about it?
I'm like, well, what episode was it? Yeah, it was exactly. 13. And like, we can't get the kids to stop laughing.
They're
and
loving it.
Just we're a little worried about what the Albertsons parking lot is going to look like after school lets out.
They have demanded an In-N-Out trip as well.
Yeah, that's it. And you're the only chaperone. You got to take exactly. all 300 kids to In-N-Out by yourself.
You could do it.
Well, it wasn't just the stars that captured his attention during those formative years. A short time after discovering astrology, Barbeau encountered the teachings of Sigmund Freud and saw Freudian psychology as an excellent tool for assisting in astrological interpretation. He was weaving together two of the most ambitious systems for understanding the human mind and the human condition, one ancient, one brand new.
And I always think it's interesting when people are into like really archaic things like astrology, which goes back to like original day trigonometry, like old calculations, what they used to do. Like that was the only way they could calculate time and stuff back then, to something that is so almost unheard of at the time of like, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you how the space between your ears works. It's like, we've been looking for that for centuries.
Somebody's got to start doing it. Mix and then I guess you just start poking around and... Then you can just kind of start saying whatever you want and nobody can like fact check you really.
Sigmund Freud's like, whoever is first is the quickest gaslighter.
Barbeau emerged from the disruptions of World War II as a professional astrologer and a charter member of the Center International des Astrologie, founded in 1946. He served as its vice president from 1953 to 1967. By 1945, he had published his first major work on the interpretation of planetary cycles, including the Saturn-Neptune pairing that his brother had first pointed him toward. He was building a framework, and he was about to test it publicly in a very bold way. On January 1, 1953, Barbeau published a prediction in a French newspaper. Using the upcoming Saturn-Neptune conjunction as his guide, he forecast an inner reorganization of the Soviet state, a reshuffling from within the Kremlin itself. Just over 2 months later, on March 5th, 1953, Joseph Stalin died, and a new Soviet era began. The prediction was on the record, in print, before it happened. Noting that the Russian Communist Party had taken power under a conjunction of Saturn and Neptune in 1917, Barbeau announced in 1955 a reshuffling or a succession of statesmen in the Kremlin during the Saturn-Neptune conjunction of 1989. Once again, Barbeau's prediction proved true. In 1989, 34 years after his prediction, the Soviet bloc fractured as the USSR's communist satellite states in Eastern Europe overthrew their governments.
It's crazy that the, especially the 1953 prediction, because Stalin was in such power and there was like not a succession plan prepared in place. And so him just seeing like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that when it hits this, it often hits the Soviets and that, you know, it's not going to be pretty.
Upheaval happens.
Yeah. And that really was upheaval. I think three or four guys, there was like different meetings and like there's these, you know, Game of Thrones-esque like different factions warring to like take over. And like, I'm like the secret police head and I'm the guy that's more of like a statesman. And so it really became this like battle for the soul of this, you know, the Russian Communist Party. And it was a, I mean, it's spot on for a guy that like wasn't, I mean, he had access to like books and mm-hmm. his own calculations and his own maps of the stars and stuff. It's not like nowadays you might be like, oh, well, someone used predictive modeling or maybe they had an insider or they read something online. He famously didn't do any of that and really was like heads down whenever he was making his predictions, which I think makes them all ring a lot more impressive, at least to me.
No, I agree. If all you see is, well, every 35 years, the stars align like this, and some mm-hmm. major upheaval happens in this area, then you might assume, okay, well, then the next 35 years, that's going to happen. And then when it does, it lends a lot of credence to the fact that the planets and the stars have a lot more pull and power over us than one might think.
No, exactly. And that's a good point, too, because it's not so unspecific that it's like something bad will happen. It's like a reshuffling from within the Kremlin. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what happened of like there's a death, a power vacuum, the reshuffling. It's not like the party came up with an outside candidate. It really did happen on a detailed, granular level, which, you know, I think he's making those predictions based on the history and the stars and quite frankly, it sounds like psychology, you know, and it's, mm-hmm. it probably is a little bit of like what you know about like the Russian party in general. But to be that specific down to like dates is crazy.
It is. And just mapping again, like no, I mean, obviously, unless we haven't found that he didn't have a crystal ball to predict anything. So it's all just kind of mapping and seeing similarities. By 1957, Barbeau was well known within the astrology community. His Zodiac series of volumes, a multi-book deep dive into the astrological signs, put him on the cutting edge of the 20th century revival and reconstruction of mundane astrology and brought him international recognition.
Yeah, I didn't really know that that was a separate area of practice, mundane astrology versus a mm-hmm. personal chart astrologer. I found that so fascinating.
I did too. I didn't know that either.
Like a zoom out kind of a thing. And yeah, his book was kind of bringing together all of his interests, which just goes to show like the more niche you are, the more it resonates with people that he chose really archaic, ancient graphics and imagery. I think because he was so historical minded, it's almost like bringing it like we have all the answers we need. Like they gave it to us like in these original descriptions. And we just need to work kind of with the formulas they handed us and, you know, not pun intended, reinvent the wheel, the Zodiac wheel.
That's interesting. In what you were just saying, who was they to you?
Like the other contemporaries of the time that okay. came out around that time, kind of like folks around him, he liked his own way and folks yeah. would do it a little bit different. I think he was a little bit more because of that original assignment from his brother of like such a large event that does correlate with so many things. Probably would make you a believer, especially at 14. Of like you said earlier, like the stars have something to do with us on Earth.
Well,
there's
that's
no way
what
it doesn't.
I was saying. They to could also mean whoever created things, like they, mm-hmm. whoever made the sky and put all these planets and stars up there. They handed us everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you just look to the sky and are willing mm-hmm. to track it and map it, then you could figure things out.
I misunderstood. Yes, sorry. Original,
I mean,
they.
It was kind of a. Not a trick question. I was just curious, and then I didn't want to interrupt your explanation.
No, you're fine. Also, but to answer more precisely, those days, I meant like original like Sumerians or Egyptians that were like tracking it. But you're right. I think a presence, a special entity handed something to those folks. And then Barbeau was like going based on like their calculations. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think there's absolutely a lineage, especially the more I learned from that secret machine shit, there's a lineage.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
something well, going on.
Tom DeLonge, she wants a book three.
Let's do it,
buddy.
Put it
out there.
Sinister Hood, we'll be right back. You've heard us talk about Hungry Root before, so you know how much we love it because it really does simplify your life. It's been a game changer for me at meal planning time and especially doing the food shopping.
Hungry Root makes healthy eating effortless by planning your meals, stocking your cart, and delivering everything you need each week. It's all tailored to your dietary preferences, health goals, and budget. The personalization is unmatched, and they take care of the guesswork so you can just enjoy your meals. With over 50,000 chef-crafted recipes, mini-ready in under 15 minutes, and 1,000-plus grocery items from smoothies, snacks, and salad kits to sweets and supplements, it's easy to find food that fits your lifestyle.
Quality is a top priority, too. Hungry Root screens out over 200 additives and only works with trusted, clean label brands. You will find high-quality meat and seafood with no hormones or antibiotics, organic produce, and non-GMO options. I'm a gluten-free pescatarian, so that's a pain in the ass everywhere, except for Hungry Root, where it's extremely easy because I can tell it what my parameters are. Paris doesn't eat pork. Click the things. Bam, it makes me a cart, and then I can change the cart, what I want, stuff I remember from last time, from snacks to meals to little salad kits. Mm-hmm. I can't get enough.
It takes all the guesswork out and having to come up with a recipe that is tailored to your dietary restrictions. I love it because you can select how big's your family, so they know, like, portion-wise, you and Paris probably going to get less than a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
Family of six is going to have more. So it's very tailored, personalized, and they've got a ton of stuff that the kids love. I've never had anything I didn't devour from Hungry Root.
You see that box on your porch, you're like, hell yes.
Yes. What snacks am I getting? And then I have to open it in private and hide the snacks, because if I don't and somebody else gets it, I'll be like, where are all the Hungry Root snacks? And they will have eaten them within a day.
Gone.
I got to get my own Hungry Root. You're going to love Hungry Root as much as we do. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to HungryRoot.com/creepy and use code creepy. That's HungryRoot.com/creepy, code creepy, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. Then in 1963, Barbeau turned his attention to a looming astrological event, the Uranus-Pluto conjunction in Virgo, which he identified as a window of revolutionary upheaval set to peak around 1965 to 1966. What arrived in that window? The civil rights movement reaching its legislative crescendo, the escalation of Vietnam, the Chinese Cultural Revolution, and then, just slightly outside the frame, but well within the energy he described, the May 1968 student revolts that nearly toppled the French government.
That's crazy, too, to be like, it's a revolutionary upheaval. And that's all of that really fits into that description.
For sure. And again, this is all just based on patterns with the stars and planets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, I had to look up definitions of all these different things. A conjunction is when two or more planets occupy the same degrees of the zodiac at the same time, like kind of stacked on top of each other. So astrologers believe it's like a powerful aspect because the two forces are kind of concentrated into like a single point of energy. And so when you take the energy of Uranus, Pluto, and then the way in this Virgo, where the location on the wheel, Barbeau would then go back in history and kind of go, okay, cyclically, when they're on top, the powers mean this. When they're concentrated on this side, it means that. So I think it's so, anybody that can talk about this stuff off the top of their head, I'm always so impressed with.
Because
I'm like, hang on, I got like a little guidebook, like flip. I got to look through my book. But
or they're like, amazing. Oh, Aries, they're known for da 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 da, and their most compatible sign is like, I would love to be able to just rattle off that knowledge. I have 1,000 books. So, I mean, but sometimes I don't know. There's so many. I mean, what, 12? So it's a lot to keep up with.
No, for sure. And especially once you start getting into degrees and sextiles and trines, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But it's a lot to balance. All I'm saying is shout out to the astrologers, Barbeau and all of his colleagues.
Mm-hmm. In 1966, Barbeau was approached by a computer company with the idea of using his text to create a computer report. In exchange, he asked if they could calculate 1,000 years of planetary positions. They agreed. By 1967, Astroflash became the world's first commercial computerized horoscope service, with machines installed at the Gare Saint-Lazare in Paris and at Grand Central Terminal in New York. The IBM computer was said to cover nearly 2 billion possible planetary interpretations, and it offered a personalized horoscope in minutes.
This was pretty crazy for the time. It was like $5. You got a 14-page reading. And now, you know, you take for granted, you could go type in your birth date and time on an app or something and it'll pop up. But this was huge. And I think genius for him to be like, well, if you want to work with me, yes, you will have to pay me. But does that computer do calculations? Because I'm not trying to sit over here with like a piece of paper like Goodwill Hunting fucking writing shit on a chalkboard. Like,
I'll die before I finish all this.
Yeah, 1,000 years, man. I would have done it too. But and also, like, if you truly believe in what you're doing, which it felt like he did, and felt almost like he had like a responsibility to share this stuff, you would want to make it as accessible as possible.
Sure.
And like, that's how you do it. Bring it to the masses for $5 a pop.
And if prior to this, while interesting, people were like, okay, those are things that are going to happen globally. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, oh, I can find out my own horoscope that has to do with me and what I can expect and what my love life is going to look like this month. That then becomes a whole new ballgame because, of course, people are self-centered and wanting to know all those things. So all of a sudden, the peak in interest has skyrocketed.
It goes from mundane to the masses.
Oh, yeah. The public couldn't get enough, When Astroflash opened its boutique on the Champs-Élysées in 1968, people poured in, and the company averaged 6,000 chart reports per month. But not everyone was celebrating. Other French astrologers hated the computer reports, and Barbeau was roundly attacked for, quote, selling out. His critics were many. Some even threatened violence. Lawsuits were initiated. As a result, the very Centre International d'Astrologie he had helped found collapsed. Undeterred, the French visionary delved deeper into his passion.
Man, when your haters can't get on board with what you're doing, like, you thought we were friends, my fellow CIA members.
Right.
We took the oath. We're in the CIA together.
This is interesting. It's kind of like their AI time.
Yeah, that's a good point, that he was like adopting something that was like controversial, I guess.
Yeah, and that could quickly do something for you that otherwise took a very long time.
Yeah.
Which might replace a human's job of tediously marking stars and planets over the course of days, months, years. Now it was like, oh yeah, we can do 6,000 reports of these per month.
Right. It's almost like when they had the printing press and all the clergy was like, people shouldn't be allowed to read the religious text. They might start getting ideas about it. But I feel like it's something like that. You're taking a risk because it's literally never been done before. And if it's really going to not just make a splash in the astrology community, but like at Grand Central Terminal in New York. And I'm sure probably the place in Paris is like an equivalent of that. But like, you can't get better foot traffic for that's, you know, a more sophisticated Zoltar situation, but something that's as exciting that one passes. I think it was like in a plexiglass, kind of like a booth. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if you kind of had to like, I think you had to know, but it, I don't know that it like stopped people necessarily, but I feel like it's pretty cool that this was like the first time that a person in 1967, a person could interact with a computer in public pretty easily. Like not everybody had computers at their work. You know, you're still doing shit on typewriters back then. So that's the other thing, is like, you're bringing astrology to the masses, you're bringing computers to the masses. And it seems like he clearly wasn't going to go be like an astrology machine guy for the rest of his life. It was a way to kind of get the word out there. But you're right. Like, people, you can't know how good or how bad it is for people to see, you know, if it's like you're a sellout.
Yeah. I think both the locations too, not only foot traffic, such a diverse melting pot of people that are coming through there every day too. So you get people from all over the world, all over the country to maybe they do it. And then they go home and they're like, next time you're at Grand Central, you got to check this thing out.
Yeah.
And then it just catches on like wildfire.
No, and I think you're right as far as the AI comparison, because two astrologers would sit next to it and there was like an article I think it was like a student reporter, but he like saw the machines like, oh, for $5, I can get my horoscope. And then the two humans were like, oh, we'll do it for like $50 or $75. And it'll also take us like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it's this kind of stark contrast of like, did you want it fast and now, or did you want it human and personal and it's going to take a while? And enough people wanted it fast and now.
People do like immediate gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Barbeau's primary technique was the cyclic index. He calculated this number based on the angles between the five slow-moving planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. These planets have the longest orbit periods, ranging from 12 years, Jupiter, to approximately 248 years, Pluto. Low index numbers mean the outer planets are clustered on one side of the zodiac. High numbers mean they are spread out. This index was first developed by an earlier French astrologer to plot planetary turbulence in times of war and peace. When you were in school, how'd they teach you to say that planet?
Everybody was like, Uranus. I mean, we're in Texas, though, so you can't help it. We're like, Uranus is conjunct over Iran right now. And it's like, we've got to be
Iraq,
gotta be
Iran, Uranus. I did not realize until... oh, I was an adult, that it's Uranus. Maybe some people still do say Uranus, but all throughout school, even when I took astronomy in college, They called it Uranus.
It's one space away from being type speak for Uranus. Are you anus? You know, you are anus. Like, you're anus.
You are anus. You are anus. Oh, man. Yeah, you just put away. A space between those two things. That's a totally different text you send somebody. Yeah.
I think no one's like, I was out getting some sun on my anus. So I think the Uranus, I think that's the problem is it's like half of the word is another, more than half of the word.
Yeah.
You know, 4/6 of a word is anus. So it's strange to me that the astronomical and astrological community are trying to hide the anus when it's right there for
big
everyone to see in here.
Big anus is taking it down.
It's right there. Yeah, yeah. Big anus is trying to hide it. I don't know what their deal is.
Also, Pluto, when I was in school, was a planet. So everyone that's like, Pluto's no longer a planet. Okay. But at the time when this came out, it was. Also, I like to still think of Pluto as a planet because I don't think you should be cut out of the system just because of your size.
I agree with that. And also, it's like, for your purposes, and by that I mean whosoever wants to designate it a planet or not, you're welcome to say, we don't consider it a planet for our purposes. But I don't think they get to tell, you know, the ancient people that were tracking what it was doing, like, well, idiots, it wasn't a planet. You know, it's like,
it's a dwarf planet because it's smaller than the other planet. Okay, but it's still like a planet.
They're like, bitch, I didn't even have a telescope and I saw it, so I should get credit.
I mean, Earth is smaller than Mercury. Right?
Yeah, I think so. We're smaller than a couple
really
of them. Definitely
I'll
Jupiter.
Be honest.
Yeah.
I know we're the third planet from the sun.
Jupiter's biggest. That's why it's the king, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ella can name, to this day, I cannot name them all in order. So
I tried
maybe
to
that's because
that
I call him, I was calling it anus instead of anus.
I'm like, I'm trying to get to anus. So just
Mercury,
some
it goes Mercury.
My very good boy. Nope. Nope.
My, okay. So Mercury, Venus, Earth.
Yeah.
Mars?
My very excited mother.
Jupiter.
Just
needs Uranus. Neptune, Uranus, Pluto.
So it goes Neptune, then Uranus. Yeah, there you go.
Is that right? I don't know.
I think it was good.
You know what? We could look this up, but instead we're just going to talk through it and y'all can let us know because I bet a lot of y'all know.
Comment below. Let us know. But I think, there's some sort of a mnemonic device that I've forgotten. But
there's an anagram that I can't place. But also, let us know. Were you taught Uranus or Uranus? Is it just a Southern thing that we were all taught to say Uranus as kids?
Yeah, we're taught that there's like three syllables and Uranus is like
Uranus.
Like Uranus is one. And they're no. If it don't hit right unless you hit it in Uranus good and hard.
I had to make a diorama, I guess is what you would call it in elementary school, of the solar system. And I remember getting a huge cardboard box and cutting like the tops off. So it was just, you know, the bottom part, flipping it, spray painting it black. And then I hung with fishing line all the planets inside that I had got like big styrofoam balls from Michaels and stuff to spray paint the different colors. And then something made the ring and stuff. I still remember that. That was probably the only project I remember doing because it was cool.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember painting Jupiter. Did we say Saturn earlier? Did we leave Saturn out? If so, maybe we should.
Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
Okay, we did.
If I left Saturn out, I'm sorry because Saturn is one of my favorites because of the rings.
It is. It's a good looking planet. It's rings. Mm-hmm. When you get zoomed in pictures of it, gorgeous stuff. But all that to say, Barbolt liked to track it. I think that going back in history and not just finding in like where different transits happen, but something like this where it's the largest planets and it happens the rarest, I feel like he put more emphasis on them. And I see why, because when something only happens 248 years, like that's take note.
Yeah, no, it is noteworthy.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Here's something I didn't know until recently. 1 in 3 Americans think they're sensitive to gluten, but only about 1% actually have celiac disease. For everyone else, it might be something else in those same foods called FODMAPs, and going gluten-free doesn't always help.
FODZYME is a tasteless powder you sprinkle right onto your food. It helps break down FODMAPs, the hard-to-digest components in food that can cause bloating, gas, and pain before they cause discomfort. Think of it like Lactaid, but for garlic, onions, wheat, beans, and other common FODMAP foods. It mixes in fast, comes in portable packets, and makes digestion easier so you can eat more of what you love.
And here is what really sets FODZYME apart. Every customer gets access to a free product consultation with a registered dietitian, not a chatbot and not an FAQ page, an actual dietitian who can walk you through your specific trigger foods and build a plan that works for your life. FODZYME was created by Harvard-trained scientists, clinically studied, and founded by an IBS sufferer who was tired of feeling uncomfortable after every meal. I was able to do a side-by-side FODZYME test with the same pizza. One night, I put the FODZYME on it, and this was a cauliflower crust pizza with a lot of garlic, onions, all that, cheese. And I put the FODZYME on it and no problems. And then I forgot to FODZYME the next day. And I was like, I was kind of feeling the indigestion the next day. And I was like, why did I skip it? This was a terrible idea.
Putting it on everything from spaghetti with, you know, marinara sauce, which can often give me indigestion, pizza, burritos. You just sprinkle it and the packets are so tiny. They're like little sugar packets. So you can throw them in your bag, have them for on the go if you go out to eat. And 100%, I have noticed a difference every time I've taken it.
Mm-hmm. And no taste either. It just goes
right
on.
Zero taste. Yeah. You can sprinkle it all in just like one little area and take one bite. It doesn't even have to be, you know, throughout your entire food, which I did not learn until Tommy was like, you can just sprinkle, you know, it all right into this bite. And then you don't have to mix it all in. I was like, I guess that makes sense. We're so excited to partner with FODZYME and offer you 30% off your first order when you go to icaneatagain.com/creepy. That's icaneatagain.com/creepy for 30% off your first order. Finally, you can enjoy your favorite foods without the pain. Just go to icaneatagain.com/creepy. Barbeau believed that low values of the index corresponded to periods of collective tension, war, upheaval, economic crisis, and pandemics, while high values corresponded to periods of institutional stability, cultural flourishing, and peace. He relied almost exclusively on transits, the real-time movement of planets through the sky, like clock hands moving over significant numbers on a dial. Radical for his time, he rejected methodologies used by his peers like progressions, solar returns, and retrograde planets. Barbeau also adhered to a theoretical methodology he referred to as cyclical cosmology, the idea that outer planet rhythms mirror the rhythms of human civilization.
So I think, yeah, he was focused on the ones with the longest orbits and, you know, and what they were doing. And when they're clustered all on one side, bad shit happens. And when they're nice and spread out, it's more balanced. And it somehow intuitively, it makes sense.
Yeah. If everybody's crammed together and doesn't have their own space, literally, then tensions are high. You're going to be like, I need space to breathe. And then when everybody's spread out and, you know, has some personal space, everything's a little easier. So it totally makes sense to me.
No, absolutely. And the progressions are, again, something I had to look up where you can actually age a birth chart forward. And so it's more, I think, would be more useful if you're not doing mundane, if you were doing like personal. You show like a progressed rate of like what might happen during a person's lifetime. But he was very much like we said, I want the actual what's actually happening and what people actually did in Egypt and stuff like that. And the same with like solar return, when the sun comes back to the year or the place where it was when you were born and stuff. I think probably for his purposes, for the mundane, larger cyclical nature, he's kind of like, that doesn't really matter.
Mm. Just for curiosity, I'd like to know when the sun returned when I was born.
Yeah, I want to know when it comes back to the exact spot. Yeah. And like, you know, it might mean like I would be interested in us having like, we got to go to another tarot reader, or not tarot reader, astrologer, and get
a medium
like
or something.
A training. I need like a training on how to do this for my own life.
Yeah. Well, we got a training on when the sun comes back, how to put our buttholes up to it so we can absorb all of its power.
I'm ready. My legs there up, is baby.
A training video on Sunday Scaries. Barbeau often shut himself away to work.
In a remote, faraway place where you can't guess what's going on in the world around you.
He explained why he did so, writing,
I had to rid myself of illusions.
Secluded in this way, the astrologer accurately predicted major world events years and sometimes decades in advance. Yeah, if you're just out in public, people might be like, well, of course you saw that coming.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, if I didn't even read the newspapers, I was mm-hmm. not around all that. Like I said, I think it gives more credence.
Mm-hmm. Barbeau repeatedly predicted that the Saturn-Neptune conjunction of 1989 would mark a major rupture for the Soviet Union and world communism. The Saturn-Neptune cycle is the roughly 36-year rhythm it takes for Saturn and Neptune to lap each other in the sky, completing one full cycle from conjunction to conjunction. Barbeau tracked this like a historical metronome, noting that each meeting of these two planets since 1846 has coincided with a major upheaval in socialist or communist politics worldwide. In 1967, Barbeau wrote that the period around 1988 and 1989 would host
the most important astral reunion of the entire 20th century,
driven by a convergence of Saturn-Neptune, Saturn-Uranus, and Uranus-Neptune cycles, predicting that
the world will renew itself to give birth to a new society.
The Berlin Wall fell on November 9th, 1989. The USSR dissolved over the two following years. Barbeau had named 1989 in print 22 years in advance of the event. This is considered his greatest predictive success, as it was specific, dated, published, and mechanically explained through the Saturn-Neptune cycle.
That's crazy, though, because the fall of the Berlin Wall is largely considered like the end of the Cold War, the beginning of the information age. So in that way, it really did kind of usher in a new society, because we shifted from, I mean, if you want to think cynically, we shifted from, you know, spending a ton of money on, I mean, we still spend it on missiles, but then it was just like electronic and computer missiles too, you know, but it was like spending the where we spent money, where the next like dot-com bubble started sort of in the early 90s with all of this. So it's cool. I don't know. It's interesting.
It is. All of this is fascinating. And to be so specific, I mean, if he was a woman in Salem back in the day, would have been burned at the stake.
Yeah, they would have got him. I mean, that's crazy, too, to say this in 1967 about the Soviet Union. It was like at the height of its power. It was like kind of jockeying for first, if not slightly winning the space race, like had already launched Sputnik. Like it was in the nuclear discussions with the United States and whatnot. And so the idea that like, enjoy the time while you have it, Soviet Union. You're like, what the fuck is this French guy saying? He's like, my eyes on you. And the 1989, he's like, a woman named Taylor Swift will be born and then the Soviet Union will fall. I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah. 35 years later, you will have the Eras Tour, the greatest tour the world has ever seen.
An economic boom for the cities it visits. And you're like, he wasn't wrong. He was not wrong.
Barbeau predicted the world economic crisis of 2008 to 2010 using his cyclic index methodology. He identified the Saturn-Uranus opposition across Virgo Pisces and Aries Libra, as well as Pluto's ingress into Capricorn, as indicators of a major economic disruption. The 2008 global financial crisis, the Eurozone crisis, the Arab Spring, and Occupy Wall Street all arrived right on time in this predicted window.
Yeah, I think he predicted like it was a cyclical trough, noting that, you know, like he said, when they all kind of get clumped up to each other, it creates this like difference in society where everything seems like it's like you don't know where the ground is. Like
the energy is like too frantic and clustered together to really know where to go.
Yeah. So that's what it seemed like. And he had the calculations, but I don't know that he necessarily published it as specifically as he did with the 1989 crisis. He was just like, according to my calculations, watch out for some shit about 2008, 2009. It's going to be, especially with the financial side of it. And then I think like later on, another astrologer found that and was like, look at that, this guy. He's got it. But yeah, it's like interesting that he's, even in these troughs, it's like he couldn't even predict like, he could predict like it would be pretty bad, but that's the Occupy Wall Street at the same time as the 08 crisis with the housing, the too big to fail banks, like the Big Short, all that stuff is, if somebody had, you know, mentioned that 5-10 years before that, you know, they would think you were crazy mm-hmm. because of how booming the economy was, especially on the you know, commercial backed the, what you call it, the mortgages, like where they were just handing them out to everyone.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then that led to a huge housing crisis because nobody could pay back their loans.
He's like, I have done the math and it is very bad.
On June 8th, 2011, Andre Barbeau was 89 years old and working on what would be his final major synthesis. He wrote an essay for the magazine he co-founded, La Astrologe, in which he did something specific enough to be testable. He wrote that a pandemic would arrive around 2020 to 2021 at the lowest cyclical reading of the 21st century, and he named the astronomical mechanism. The operative sentence in the online translation reads,
"We may well be at a serious risk of a new pandemic around 2020 to 2021 at the lowest cyclical index peak of the entire 21st century, with a quintet of planets clustered together over 100 degrees.
Well,
ooh.
We were all around in 2020 to see this come true.
Yeah, I feel like the idea of looking at a quintet of planets clustered in a way when you think that clusters correlate to pandemics, the worst,
upheaval.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's when you're like, I was doing the calculations and things look bad. Like, oh no.
Oopsie.
Oh no.
Man, it's really is wild how spot on a lot of this was. Did he also have misses? Sure. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, when you have big wins that are so specific, I don't, at some point it starts to outweigh like the losses you may have had.
Well, Paris told me the other day, he's like, you know, the best baseball players that have like a 30% batting average, like they have to also strike out even more. Like
sure.
Babe Ruth had the most hits. He had the most strikeouts. Like you're going to have to get out there and make your calculations and make your arguments.
True. I mean, the more you're at to bat, the more strikeouts and home runs you're going to have.
Yeah, it's true.
So the more you're doing anything, the more good and bad can come from it. Before we move on, just your accent's great, by the way. I just wanted to acknowledge that.
I respect this man greatly, but he's French, and that's funny.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, and adventure is the focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough and can lead to overwhelm and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting the days of sunshine. And that's the thing about summer plans. It's like, I've got this, got to do this, and I get overwhelmed. I'm traveling, got to move the schedule. And when I get off my schedule, I struggle. And so it's nice to have my BetterHelp therapist I get to chat with tell me, you know what, here's ways that you can maintain your schedule. You can maintain your routines and habits while also still enjoying travel and not feeling overwhelmed.
I love it. BetterHelp does the initial match work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews.
You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/sinister. That's betterhelp.com/sinister.
Barbeau identified other times in history when the concentration of the five slower-moving outer planets coincided with epidemics and catastrophes. The most famous of these was in 1347, when Jupiter, Pluto, and Uranus formed a triple conjunction in Aries, while Saturn and Neptune were nearby, just when the Black Death arrived. COVID-19 was identified in December 2019. The World Health Organization declared a pandemic on March 11, 2020. The Jupiter-Saturn-Pluto conjunction Barbeau had pointed at as the trigger was exact, early in the first quarter of 2020. His calculation was 9 years old when the pandemic arrived.
Yeah, I think the exact day of conjunction was like January 12th, and that was like 10-11 days before China first reported the outbreak to the WHO. So,
well, that's, I mean, just when they reported it.
Reported it, yeah. But it's crazy, like the dates like that. And it's not just the Black Death. I think the transits or like the similar, what you call it, like the similar zodiac wheel matches, his cyclic index like matches to the Great Plague of London, which, you know, like we said, 70,000 dead. And there was another one that was like a plague in, I think, France, a Marseille, France, like in the 1700s. That, so it's all of these, not just, oh, well, you know, there was like an outbreak of sickness here. It was like it took out 10% of the population. Mm-hmm. So, or 15 or however much it was with the Black Plague. So I bet, you know, when you're making that calculation, you're like, I'm going to have a tough time. The first part of 2020 will be very difficult.
Yeah. You have a lot of people to warn. It's like that Curb episode when Larry finds out there's going to be a terrorist attack in LA over the weekend and he's not supposed to tell anybody. And then he tells Alanis Morissette and a bunch of other people. But you got to, like, if you know this is coming, wouldn't you be like, family meeting?
I mean, I guess I truly, as a person who, like, he published a news magazine about this. It was like, I think everyone in the world should read my magazine. Like, he's trying to scream it from the rooftops and put himself in Grand Central Terminal. I don't know what more you could do from that.
We love a non-gatekeeping king, which is what he was. Barbo did not live to see his pandemic forecast tested. He died on October 7th, 2019, at 98 years old. However, he left a big prediction for 2026 before passing on. In his 2014 book, he noted the Saturn-Neptune conjunction at 0 degrees Aries on February 20th, 2026. This is the very first degree of the entire zodiac, corresponding to the spring equinox. It is the moment the sun crosses the celestial equator. Astrologers treat this as the zodiac's universal reset button, the point where new cycles begin at the most fundamental level. Barbeau described the 2026 conjunction as
the most benefic configuration of the century,
adding that
interplanetary partnership will work for the best in a splendid relaunch of civilization.
He was careful to note, however, that this relaunch would not happen overnight. Rather, he saw it as a shift that would unfold over decades.
Yeah, he thought that the configuration would contain a harmonious relationship between primordial polar opposites and the coming together of the external and the internal, rational and spiritual, mind and soul, human beings surpassing themselves while experiencing life on a higher level.
Well, that's interesting, given all the things that are coming out. Yeah. You know what else is interesting? My youngest brother's birthday is February 20th.
Oh, So he's part of it. Yeah. He's part of the launch.
I mean, we're all part of it, I suppose. It's wild with all the disclosure information and UAP talk that's going on and various congressional hearings about it. That, once again, he's kind of right with 2026 being the year where all of that is unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
The February date was a part of a larger structural pattern Barbeau was tracking. Historically, each major period of global crisis has been followed for 10 to 20 years by a cultural reflowering. The 2020 to 2022 trough was the deepest in the cyclic index's entire modern record, even worse than World War II. By that pattern, 2026 onward should open the recovery window, much as the 1989 Saturn-Neptune conjunction, the very last one, closed the Cold War and opened the information economy boom that ran through 2007.
Yeah, I feel like Barbeau was also kind of saying he thought like the change, kind of similar with the 1989 change where it changed where our focus was as a society, that we'll now look to like what institutions are running us, who is controlling the information, what is money, who do governments serve, what should we, you know, kind of like what should we as a society be working towards? Does this work for us? And kind of this year is that realization of like, this doesn't fucking work for us. Like, I think so many more people are waking up going like, it's stupid to have a trillionaire. This makes no fucking sense. People are starving, they're homeless, and a person has $1 trillion, that's a mental illness. That's a sickness that people are cheering on. That's crazy. We can't have that. That's public policy wise, we just can't have trillionaires. That's if a millionaire is a cup of coffee, a trillionaire is the whole cafe, and a billionaire is a packet of Splenda, and you are one grain of Splenda.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think someone needs to have the whole restaurant when you're one grain of Splenda? It makes no sense.
I saw an interview with Tupac from the 90s the other day where he was very eloquently going off about how even millionaires are unethical, especially billionaires. And he was just saying, how can you have like these people in my old neighborhood living on the streets, not having any food, not knowing where they're going to sleep? And then you've got this other person with 8 houses. Why do you need 8 houses? Like, you make your money, have 1 house, you know, like, and have it be for the amount of people in your family. It doesn't have to be these huge, gargantuan, lavish palaces, and you've got multiple around the globe when there are people that literally sleep under a bridge every night.
Mm-hmm. It's a moral failing as a society, I think, that we allow that to happen, certainly. So I like that Barbol doesn't come out and straight up say, like, it's just like with his other prediction of, like, it's not going to be good for the Soviets. You know, it's like, it's going to open a new door for humanity, but doesn't really ascribe it in a way that's like trying to be controlling. And I think that's why it's a better prediction, because it is based on, I won't say like generalities, but it's based on the aspects of history that he can pull from to then like match up, so that it isn't, you know, a Nostradamus type, like, or whatever, like made up, you know, somebody's just making it.
Yeah.
Trying to make money. And I think, you know, because he wasn't like, call my 900 number and I'll help you, or like make an appointment with me for $10,000. You know, he was out publishing a magazine. Like, to me, it's like, what's the point of this? And the point's like to get the information out to people, because he truly believes
he wanted people to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
However, 2026 is astronomically rare beyond this singular alignment. The year is a pileup of rare events happening simultaneously. Saturn and Neptune haven't met in the sign of Aries since 1702 to 1704. And at the exact degree of 0 degrees Aries hasn't happened in roughly 9,000 years. Adding to that, Pluto has just moved into Aquarius for the first time since the American and French revolutions from 1778 to 1798. Neptune is in Aries for the first time since the Civil War era. Neptune is in Aries for the first time since the Civil War era in 1861, and Uranus is in Gemini for the first time since World War II and the invention of the computer, 1941 to 1949. Barbeau counted 9 separate outer planet subcycles, all in their ascending waxing phase simultaneously in 2026, the most of any point in the century. He considered these types of waxing cycles constructive, while he considered waning cycles to be destabilizing.
Yeah, I guess since the waxing cycles are constructive and all of these major planets are in this constructive phase, he's like, shit is popping off real good.
And for the first time in years that don't even, we can't even comprehend, 1702, all right. Like, I mean, that was so long ago that it's, for something to never have happened since then and it's happening now, speaking of a grain of sand, it really just puts into perspective how small we are in the grand scape of everything.
Right. Especially when you think about all these planets moving in their own orbits, and they speed up a little bit when they get closer to the sun. And so the moments that they are conjunct with each other, the moments that they are clustered up, you know, whatever, in what we'll talk about his basket here in a second. But the moments that they're at these places is, you know, even if you don't believe on that it truly moves like entire nations of people, just on the awe factor of like, you're around to witness something that, you know, the last time somebody witnessed this was 5,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago or whatever, especially when I can't recall who it was, but a content creator was describing it, because I need like a metaphor to visualize things and to picture it. And they were saying it would be like if all the planets are each musicians and the largest musicians are playing like these loud instruments, but at all different beats. And like every once in a while, these two get on the same beat or those two get on the same beat. Well, this year, all 5 are going to just happen to chime the same note at the same time. And that's because it isn't random. They're each doing their own specific counted beats, but they're just different counting. And so what does that mean when they all chime at the same time?
Dude, it's like My Singing Monsters. Did you ever play that game?
Did not. What is this? So I want to know about it.
I think that's what it was called. It's a mobile game. And you have these tiny, cute little monsters, and each one makes a different sound or plays a different instrument. I don't remember how you acquire more monsters, but you do, and then you make them make music together and stuff. It's very funny and cute and, like, kind of almost zen-like.
I like it. Well, because if it's similar to if these planets are our ancient gods or represent some sort of ancient energy, then it's just our sky monsters.
It's our, yep, my singing sky monsters.
Sinisterhood will be right back. A quick message from today's sponsor, the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
If you've ever owned a pet, you know they run on their own logic. Jump first, think later, ask questions, never. It's part of what makes them so lovable, but it's also how you end up with those surprise vet visits you didn't see coming. ASPCA Pet Health Insurance helps cover eligible vet expenses, so when those moments happen, you can focus on getting them the care they need without overthinking the cost or second-guessing your decision.
When you enroll in an ASPCA Pet Health Insurance plan, you could get a $25 Amazon gift card. It's a little treat for you while you're doing something great for your pet. The plans are customizable to fit your budget and your pet's quirks, and it's been around nearly 20 years, helping almost a million pets.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/creepy. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/creepy.
Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Amazon terms for more info. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
The February 20th conjunction was merely the opening act. The crescendo, Barbel 22, is a configuration peaking July 19th through July 21st of 2026. These dates are now being called the Barbel Basket, though the name was coined by later astrologers, not Barbel himself. On these dates, Jupiter in Leo forms a precise opposition to Pluto in Aquarius, while Uranus in Gemini, Neptune in Aries, and Saturn in Aries all connect through a web of harmonious aspects. The alignment creates three sextiles and two trines, forming a basket shape on the zodiac wheel, with the Jupiter-Pluto opposition as the handle. All five of the slow-moving outer planets will be forming a rare geometric pattern with each other simultaneously. The tension point in the pattern is productive. The last time this specific opposition showed up, in 1789, it produced the Bill of Rights and the French Revolution. Well, you know what else is happening during July 19th through the 21st? The end of the World Cup, which has given me a new perspective on things we as Americans take for granted. When you see all these videos of people from the UK and different countries coming over and just being like shocked at the size of things or the portions of food. And just, I haven't seen one person say a bad thing. And I'm like, well, you don't live here. However, at the end of what has become this like joyous global sleepover we're all having with each other is right in the window of this basket.
That's a really good way to think of it, because I was like, it is like this capstone game that's going to be played at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. That's an open air place that's going to have, I'm sure, like fireworks and stuff. If you were a big mothership and you were going to come down and visit, it's a great place to do it.
And also, we had a bunch of those drones over New Jersey. Whether they were foreign adversaries, our own government, or something else, no one has really admitted to. It's interesting, though, that these dates for some such event happen in a place where that happened not too long ago,
where there were drones. But that's a good point, that folks being here in the United States from multiple different countries, mostly, you know, we're all getting along other than the TSA agents who were targeting the Moroccans and targeting what was it, like the third greatest referee in the world because he was from Ethiopia. They wouldn't let him in. And he's like, I won the referee contest.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah. He's like the greatest, one of the greatest referees. And they're like, we don't care. You're from a country where people are brown. Get out of here. So
that
those embarrassments. Yeah. So, but hopefully once people are all here on the ground, getting along together, and literally the planets will align. Maybe that's how we shifted. That's how we shifted it to the matriarchy.
I think it was at Korea that recently played, I believe in New York, and just fans of the Korean team, fans of, I don't remember who they were playing, just everyone in the street just partying and like bringing, like the Scots have all their kilts and their bagpipes and stuff, and just seeing all these different cultures working together has been a very positive reminder that our governments don't define us. Like we as individuals usually get along and we're usually pretty cool with each other when, I mean, as we've seen, like we all can get along with each other. It's when the fucking people in charge start making decisions that only benefit themselves, which is a very small 1% of this planet, that everything starts getting fucked up.
No, I think you're right. And it was similar to like during COVID when, while we were physically separated, people made so many connections online, especially through TikTok and whatnot, going like, oh my gosh, like my grandma, I'm from this part of the country and my grandma's like this. And people in the comments are like, well, I'm from this other country entirely and my grandma's exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. And like, we've all started to have these revelations that like, oh, it's almost like the really wealthy people in charge that want to keep us extremely afraid so they can sell us stuff don't want us to have good relationships with our neighbors, regardless of where any of us were born. And you're like, yeah, they don't want that. They want you to fight all the time. So seeing people from other countries go like, this, you know, Taco Bell is great. Oh, and it's like, fuck yeah, brother, Taco Bell is great. Get over here and have you a fucking cheesy gordita crunch, my man.
Supreme.
We're fucking cracking Baja Blast with each other, having Baja Blast with each other, maybe Baja Blasting each other. I don't know what happens at these places, but it's going to bring us together.
I think it really will. This is, you know, July 21st might come and we're like, well, nothing really happened. Or it comes and we're like, ding dong, the witch is dead. Everything's great. We're all getting along. And then we just become one planet of peace.
Let's do it.
That's going to be the name of the book I write when this all stops.
Planet of Peace, the Christy Wallace plan.
As hopeful as it sounds, a more conservative reading of the same tool suggests the window of genuine stability may be narrower than Barbol believed. The 2028-2029 Saturn-Pluto square could introduce a serious complication right in the middle of what he called the reflowering period. Most careful readers of his work treat 2026 as a genuine turning point leading to gradual positive change with some periodic setbacks rather than sudden transformation to a golden age overnight.
Yeah, and I think the Saturn-Pluto hard aspects in the past include like a financial crisis, Mussolini's rise to power, like eugenics laws being passed. So kind of the idea is that like you're on the way up. You have a little bit of a pullback of like one more bad pullback, and then hopefully continue on beyond that, that we're headed into a new era, that it's kind of, we'll start the lights get turned on and we're like, okay, we're going to like start this party. Everybody's bringing stuff. And you're like, ah, shit, we spilled the punch. And you're like, it's okay. We can clean it up. We can clean it up. And then by like the 2030s, that's when the real golden age begins. So like the next few years is like setting the stage. The people are willing. The pieces are having to come into place and they might, it sounds like, get a little bit moved in the in between. It's so 2028, you motherfuckers, don't do it to us.
A hopeful future for the most part, if you're looking at his predictions. It gives us something to, you know, shine a light in this dark hellscape that we find ourselves in.
Certainly. And I didn't take it, either him or other ones I read, and I fully would love to hear from any of our astrologer experts who are listening, but that it was not a total reversal of the reflowering, the relaunch, or anything like that, that it was kind of like a temporary pullback in a ongoing upward motion. So like, do not despair kind of thing.
Yeah. Like they start extreme sports at the UFC thing on the front lawn, and then we're like, what the fuck? And then nobody's there, but it catches fire and it all goes up in flames and it burns to the ground. And then like a phoenix rising from the ashes, America does.
Yeah, we're back, baby. It's the actual Statue of Liberty, and she's back. And she starts off by beating the shit out of that UFC fighter that barfed on himself and then was like, Michelle Obama's a man. I'm like, keep your food down, Junior, and then come talk to me about who's what. She might, I don't think she's a man, but I don't think you are either.
Dude, that whole spectacle was so embarrassing. I feel like we owe a call to every country and to just say, like, that is not us. We are so sorry. This is the most trashy thing that this administration could have done.
No, literally, it's like your like white trash cousins are like, we're the ones going to plan the family reunion, and we're putting flyers up out for the whole like the whole city to come. And you're like, I'm gonna have to explain to all my coworkers that that's my cousin, but like we're not close.
No, we don't talk. We don't talk.
No. Sinisterhood. We'll be right back.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Over the course of his career, André Barbeau wrote well over 30 books, launched the world's first computerized horoscope service, and edited the magazine L'Astrologe until his death 51 years after founding it. The Astrological Association remembered him, stating,
Barbeau's work stands as a remarkable testament to the value of astrology. Had he been listened to, the 2008 financial crash might have been largely avoided, and we could have been better prepared for the coronavirus pandemic.
As for what will happen on July 19th and in the years that follow, we'll all just have to see for ourselves. So what do we think?
Well, I hope this is the beginning of a new even if it's just the beginning of a new era, it doesn't have to be
new
like
dawn, a new day,
a new life,
and I'm feeling good.
And I think this is a problem with like disclosure or a prediction like this, is to be precise with it. Like he didn't say an entirely new society will begin at approximately noon on the 19th of July, 2026. Mm-hmm. He was like, things are aligned at this date, at this time, that seem to indicate the future will move in this direction. And so I feel like a lot of folks, like, perhaps, I think that a lot of folks, like, want to, if they don't believe it, they find the disbelief credible when something, well, it's like, well, this exact date, nothing happened at this exact time. It's like, well, read specifically what he wrote. It was not that. It was not like, okay, at the end of the match at the World Cup, this crazy thing's going to happen. Yeah. It was more just like, the alignments will be here, and that's accurate and true because, hell, IBM computers mathed it up for him in 1967. He didn't have to do the calculation. He probably did, though. But, like, the fact that you have yes, he's correct that the planets are doing this. He is using his knowledge of history and human psychology and behavior and things like that to then, but also we have to understand he made this prediction. He's dead. He's been dead since 2019. So I don't think he could have known, you know, by 2019, Donald Trump's in office, but I don't know that you're like, oh, with this guy in office, we're going to be living in a utopia in less than 10 years. Like, in fact, probably the opposite. No. So I'm surprised that this is our forecast given who's in charge.
It's been quite hellish, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just fascinating how many of these things came true, even if it was, you know, within a week or two of saying something. Something happened around the times that he predicted. As for how accurate the prediction was, that, you know, varied. But he was pretty right about things. So because he did die in 2019, He would have known Trump was elected in 2016. He did not know he was going to get elected again, or maybe he did. So it's even more interesting that these predictions happen and that the specific date he gave is during the World Cup, which is a huge, the hugest global event that we have in sports and sees people from all over coming together and connecting in a way that they don't usually.
It's a way more international than any other sport I can think of.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as like the idea of unity and cheering for something, I imagine, because we don't, unless I'm totally wrong, it's my understanding the very, very final game of the World Cup, we don't know who's going to play that. Like, it's to be determined based on who wins the next tournaments and stuff. And so that's going to be exciting to see who it is and like see if it really is this, like, you know, maybe a David versus Goliath or like good versus evil kind of feeling. You know, I don't know what exact teams that would be. It's like the USA. We're all rooting against the USA. No.
They're like, but, well, the USA is the evil one. Who's the good one?
Hang on a minute. Right. So I don't, I mean, I'm not sure what it, what, who the teams are going to be, but it certainly feels already like a key match just given the climate right now. Like, as far as wanting unity, it's giving like the Olympics during like wartime. Cause we, the US, are hosting and going like, come here. We're nice and friendly people. We did kill all of those school children, but we're nice and friendly people. Come on. So it's an interesting balance to watch. And especially like this date coming on that finale.
And I think it's, and I, or I hope it's been an eye-opening realization for people that have visited America and have had such positive experiences that they take that back and realize the people of America are great. It's the fucking billionaire pedophilic elite that run it that are the problem. So, you know, most of our countries have all had some kind of government coup. Maybe we should help out our cousins over there and show them how it's done.
They're like, well, we are French. We can tell you about the revolution. I'm like, tell away, baby. That's what we need. That's what we need. So, well, I'm stoked. We're like about a month out. So we've got, we don't have long.
We'll be watching. Tommy is watching all over FIFA every day.
You might be listening to this in, you know, 2033 when we're in our, by then we've made it to our utopia.
it is going to be interesting. I feel hopeful. And for a long time I haven't. And not just because of this. Over the past 6 months, my hope has trended upwards with just seeing people from the MAGA side being like, you know what? I was wrong. I fucked up. I'm sorry. I'm coming over. To which a lot of people are like, well, you're the reason, even myself. At the same time, we have to be like, but you're welcome, because we don't want them going back to that. I think people have seen that the promises that were made to better their lives are not happening, are not going to happen. In fact, they're making way less. Their jobs have been eliminated and are beginning to see it's never really been left versus right. It's up versus down. And we are all down, by the way.
Down bad. Down bad, crying at the gym, as they say. But I mean, when you look at the actual like basket on the wheel, like once it's plotted out, we'll post a picture in our on Instagram. But it gives this like relaxing balance almost look to it, because it is very like direct. There's a little handle. It feels very balanced. And so there is, like I said, there's almost like when they're clumped on each other, there's something that feels like vibe wise about them all being balanced, that it's like, whatever energy you have, planets, please come and pour it down on us, because we could use it. And hopefully it's empowering energy. And it sounds like, you know, based on his quote of like, we're going to bring together the mind and the matter and the things like that, whether it's a big leap forward in artificial intelligence, it is a big leap forward in combating climate change, like something like that. I'm hoping that it is something that's measurable, at least, so that we can all have that little hope to hold on to, because that there's something to about having a tangible thing. But
for sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Andre, for your math. Look at that. Math and astronomy brings it all home. And history.
Who could have thought? Yeah.
Yeah.
And psychology. History. Well, it's a good time to be looking at your moon phases and spells and intents and all of those things to to cast to the skies and usher in whatever positivity lies ahead, hopefully, mm-hmm. for us all. Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Emma the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That is where you join for a week at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you stick around, do that annual membership, you get 1 month free. And what you get also is so much stuff all year long.
Add free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content that we let you all vote on what you want to see. You get weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You put in your email, you get immediate access to Sunday Scaries and the original videos before they get edited and uploaded to YouTube.
We're going to have to blur out a lot of buttholes and crotches. So if you want to see it uncut. Volume 51. Sunday Scaries Volume 51 is undone. And by that, I mean off the rails and also pants are off, it sounds like.
All of it was happening. And now, during Sunday Scaries, we come up with a discount code that you can use for 24 hours once the stream has ended to get 50% off your first month. No matter what membership tier, if you're a new member, you get 50% off of that. You can stack that by doing an annual and then get a free month plus a 50% off too.
Boom. And it's always a great word. Like this week it was crotch.
Yeah.
Because we asked what you wanted. We're like, what should we make the code? And one person said crotch. And then everyone said crotch. So then the chat was just like crotch, 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 crotch.
One person said crotch or nothing. So we were like, it has to be crotch then.
The people have spoken. I was like, man, I wonder if Patreon's like, this is like, is Sinisterhood getting flooded? Because they had 350 messages that said crotch in a row. Oh, man. We love you guys.
Also, on our website, you can find fun things like topic-based playlists. So if you have a friend that's like, what is going to happen the rest of this year? Send him this episode. He's got it all figured out for you all. And you can find more information and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
Oh, yeah, baby. Use that discount code. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, maybe you want to treat yourself to a pep talk or you want to book a cameo for Father's Day. Maybe it's for a father in your life, for a person who's having a tough time because it's Father's Day, or for somebody who is a father when they stepped up, even though they were not actually, birth father. They are the father. There you go. Biologically, that they stepped up and were your father when you needed it the most. We would love to create a fun announcement. It could be a congratulations on something, but for Father's Day, we want to create something for you. So let us know if you want a tarot pull for them. Horse head lady body. McGruff can
what
show up.
What father doesn't want horse head lady body dancing around? I mean, that's at the top of everybody's gift list.
It's elite, but not only that, the cameos are currently on sale. They're on sale now through Father's Day for $20 each. So go over to the website, cameo.com/sinisterhood, and book it now. You don't even need a coupon code. It's just automatically on sale until Father's Day. And it's the best Father's Day gift you can get because it's us.
It's us. What every father wants.
Yeah, exactly. Where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I can be found on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shout outs. Pandemonia.
Aelcade,
Brianne Hensley,
Nikita Escobar,
Vanessa Solis,
Allie,
and Amanda Cleary.
Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We hope we pronounce your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Wah-ha-ha-ha.
Sinister.
Hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.